This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Piece of junk, not promising.
Anyone have a watch?
I need a new watch.
It's a left. It's a left. Thank you.
Jack Black and Melissa Cobb, our producer.
It's very stylish.
It was made
from a meteorite stone, I was told. Except it doesn't tell the proper time. But it gives me energy from the different parts of the universe, which is great.
That's great.
What's the right time on that meteorite?
It's a... Yeah, it's probably that time
somewhere
on that.
In the universe.
Well, the meteorite struck the Earth. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to harvest the sample.
Listen, Jen, this was a very long process, and I know it was like about 4.5 years from the very beginning, but at what point did you get involved with the voiceover? Because I know it's kind of a continuing process. So when did you actually get involved, and did your character just sort of evolve as you would go back and do more voiceovers?
I want to say it was 4 years ago when I first came in and recorded. Is that right?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 4 years ago. So it's like every few months, 3 or 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, we'd call them. Now we've got it right this time. Can you come to it this time?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you had it from the very beginning, or did you see a process of your character evolving?
I evolved as a character. When we first did it, I remember I was like, I wonder if that's too whiny or too shrieky, and calling up the next day and saying, I want to come back in. I think maybe I was too whiny or shrieky. And then I came back and we did it again. But I never did it all in one sitting. I never sat down and did the whole movie all at once, because that's not the process that they were working with, a more organic script development. You know, performances would come in. And is that fair to say that it's kind of shaped the?
Yeah, I think that he was sort of more a little bit more of a jerk in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then once we started hearing Jack's voice, we're like, oh, this is. There was this one moment where he's in the dojo and he's feeling a little nervous about doing kung fu in front of his heroes, and I think that was from one of the early sessions. And as soon as we had that moment, we were like, oh, that's the character we like. And then we had to sort of go back and find how to bring that character through the movie. But that really came from working with Jack and finding where is he charming and likable, and so we worked off of that.
My question is, Jack, I'm pretty sure that they are shooting when you're doing voiceover, and I'm pretty sure you are kind of trying to do the movement of the kung fu. So I'd like to know that my favorite movement of your character, Paul, is pull the tummies and kind of let it go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, did you do some this kind of movement when you were doing voiceover?
I don't remember if I did. I don't think so. I think that was... The animators get a lot of credit. They should get more credit for all those things.
And so. Jack's stomach is much smaller than mine.
I don't know.
I have to say, it's pretty. It's really much smaller.
That's my move. That's my best kung fu move.
Okay. Now I wish we had it on film as more inspiration for the animators.
Jack, I'm wondering if there was somebody in your life, like a master of Shifu, who was your guide or your mentor in your acting career.
I had plenty of, mentors and people that advised me and helped me along my road. Great acting teachers. Deb Devine was my teacher in ninth grade. She actually said, hey, you should... Why do you want to be an actor? Why don't you be a writer or director? Those people are the ones that really are the brains behind the movies. Why do you want to just be a puppet? And you could say that she was discouraging me from being an actor, but I don't think so. I thought it was really great advice, and I have tried to do some writing. I've written for myself songs and sketches and stuff for my band Tenacious D, and really helped me to find my voice as an actor. Helped me. And that's what I always tell people who ask me, well, how do I become an actor like you? I tell them to write their own ticket, you know, do your own movies and things. Don't wait around to be a puppet in someone else's show. You make the show happen. So that's the one that pops into my head right away for someone who helps me.
Jack, I was wondering, I thought there was a lot of emotional realism that came through in your portrayal of Poe, and I was wondering, were there moments that you really connected his story to maybe your own story?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of... I was very... I knew Dustin Hoffman was in the movie, so I wanted to be absolutely method acting, but my performance, not to be outshone by the master himself. I would think about things like when we were doing the scene when I was talking about the Furious Five and how much I idolized them and was really excited that they were going to have a presentation of the Dragon Warrior, and I substituted, like, okay, what would I get that excited about? Oh, my God, Radiohead, my favorite band, my favorite rock and roll band, is going to be playing at the Wiltern, and I have to go see them. They're going to be adding a new member of the band, and maybe I could be in Radiohead and, you know, things of that nature. Little what-if exercises is what we like to call it in the Strasbourg technique that I'm very good at.
Jack, were you... What was your childhood dream? Was it always acting? Was it music? Was there anything you were as obsessed about as poets about his martial arts?
Well, yeah, I loved acting. I loved the arts in general. I also loved the martial arts. Yeah, I guess I was crazy for improv games, the Viola Spolin games when I was a kid. Definitely wanted to master it. I would say, yeah, that was my thing.
Jack.
Yes.
At Cannes, can you talk about the experience at Cannes? And if I'm not mistaken, you're the one that slipped that Angelina was pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
Any repercussions from that? Or
yeah, that's fine.
Like
well, the truth is, I didn't tell the whole story. I held back. But, what the hell? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. She's actually pregnant with triplet pandas. Which is great news for the panda population. We've got three new pandas coming. Unfortunately, it's really bad news for Brad Pitt. Because they're not his.
So still friends, all
right? We are still friends. Good friends.
Can you talk, Jack, can you talk a little about the day that you worked with Dustin Hoffman and what that was like?
Dusty and I worked together, and I can call him Dusty now. We've gotten to that point. It was great to work with him, and I think you guys and Jeffrey just wanted us to get together to see what would happen, because, you know, for the most part, we work in isolation. It's just easier that way, so that you don't have overlap and just technical reasons and schedule reasons, you know. It's fun. It's good. It's fun to work together, but it's also really helpful to be able to just focus on your performance and just explore all the different lines and joke angles you can take without the other actor there who's like, come on, Jack, we're on hour number three on the same joke. I'm Dustin Hoffman. I have to move. But when we did get together, it was, I was intimidated because, you know, I've been a huge fan of his for my whole life, it seems, and it was cool to get tips from him, acting tips, and he is the master, for real.
So were you like your character when he goes into the rooms and meets the other superheroes and... sucks up and is nervous and says crazy things?
I was a suck up. Did I get I don't think I said anything too embarrassing.
You're pretty cool.
I think I actually maybe clammed up a little bit. I got a little quiet.
We actually were just looking back at that footage just earlier this week for another reason, and it was really cool to see, because I think we had even forgotten, because it was a few years back. And we had cut the two performances from the same day together, and it was that moment in the chopstick fight, if you've seen the movie, where they're having this sort of face-off between each other. And it's a great moment in the movie, I think, as a result, because there's this really quick kind of back and forth between the two of them that came out of that day. So it was a great moment for the movie, I think.
Jack, and Dustin, the master, was telling us that when you take a live-action film and an animated film, he was surprised at the difficulty he had, how painstaking it was. Was this a whole different challenge for you? Is it more painstaking and difficult for you as an actor?
No, I think we have different approaches. I'm more of like a stand-up than a method actor. Maybe it was, I think he definitely prefers to have the other human being there to bounce off of and have, like, real human interaction. I'm fine with just doing it in a vacuum. In a space vacuum of my own. Yeah, I'll do it in the mirror. It's my technique. But, I would find it just as difficult if I, like, had his role in Kramer versus Kramer. I'm sure that would be very painstaking for me. Into my world.
How much are you looking forward to being a dad for the second time? And time management-wise, is it fun for you? I mean, is it going to be a big challenge to do the career and the kids thing?
You gotta make all the time precious that you have with the babies when you're working. Like right now, I really should be with my babe right now. But I'll get back and, you got an hour in the morning and an hour at night, and you really make the most of that time.
There's some hours in the middle of the night you could probably help out, too.
Oh, yeah. Hours in the middle of the night. Oh, I have been. I have a new one. That's what she's talking about. New one. It's 8 every 3 hours.
Are you a method actor like Dustin Hoffman is a method actor?
Totally. I lived with pandas for 3 years before we even started recording, so I heard about the project. I eat bamboo. I haven't eaten anything but bamboo. Bamboo and cheeseburgers. No. I did actually take a summer of Strasbourg classes here in L.A., and I learned how to hold an imaginary cup of tea. And I still have it. Sense memory. It's hot. Ah. And I use it. I'll use that technique on you. A drop of a hat.
Just following up on a Tropic Thunder thing. Were you surprised about the Robert Downey Jr. fallout a little bit? About the press jumping on him because of him being dark face?
No, it's a spicy little character he's playing there. It's a, we're in a very politically correct climate right now, and there's certain things that are taboo you can't do, but I think when people see the film, they will appreciate an incredible performance, and in the context of the film, I do not think it will be deemed racist or inflammatory at all, just very funny and smart comedy. Yeah.
Jack, I wondered if your older son is old enough to actually watch this and kind of enjoy it, and has he gotten a lot of toys and playing with them and stuff?
Yes, Sammy has gotten... I screen the toys, though. He's only 1 year old. And a lot of toys come in that say, like, 3 and above and 4 and 5 and above, and I'll hold off on those. I'll keep those well hid in the attic. Bring them down in a couple
moving,
years.
The moving pictures, at least, in front of him.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till he's... Like, this movie would be... Any movie would be really overwhelming. You don't want to take a little baby into a big, dark movie theater with a... It's like... that in itself is kind of an intense experience. Even though he's pretty intense already, but... Got to keep things soft and sweet for a while longer.
Is he musical?
Yes, very musical. Mm-hmm. He's got great rhythm and loves to dance. I made him a dance mix on my iPod. recently, that I'm pretty proud of. I think I cracked the code.
What's part of the mix?
Groove is in the Heart by D Light. And that's one of the nuggets. Dancing Queen by ABBA. What else is on there? Surf Wax USA by Weezer. Yeah, lots of good jams. A little Stevie Wonder in there. The one that goes... What is that? Well, keep on turning, because it won't be too...
Higher ground.
It's on the baby dance mix. I recommend it for other people who have babies.
I wondered if Jackie Chan had seen the picture and how much input he might have had. Did he have any input at all with the kung fu? And why is always the bad guy British? I mean, it's like every fashion.
Darth Vader, yeah. Ever since Darth Vader.
More ominous, the accent.
They're scary, those British people. Jackie Chan has seen the movie, and you know, the sort of the greatest compliment was that he really thought the action was terrific, and it was great for him to see it. You know, when he came in one of his sessions, he actually did a lot of his sound effect work to the picture and sort of watched his character move through space, and that was really cool because, boy, he can do those kung fu sound effects like, well, like Jack Black can. did a fantastic job. And you know, we didn't have the opportunity to work with him too much during the process of production because, you know, he's incredibly busy, but you know, we were honored to show it to him and to have him like it. In terms of the British bad guy, I don't know what could be going on there. But Ian McShane is really an amazing, amazing actor. I mean, he has such an intensity. Just him standing in a room when you're sort of like trying to pitch the project, like, do you want to be this tiger? It's really scary. And he just gives you that look. But the sweetest guy in the world. So it was really a wonderful opportunity to work with him. And he just... he could go from just being like a sweet, may I have a cup of tea guy to like the scariest villain in the recording session 2 seconds later. He's fantastic. So, happens to be British. I don't know.
What is the name of that dude who was the consultant on Kung Fu Moves?
Bernoff.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Didn't he like do some work on some other actual Kung Fu live action films? The dude I met some dude yesterday that was...
Oh, Eric Chen, maybe.
Chen.
Eric Chen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy, and he actually taught a class to all of us, which is... I don't know how many of you have taken a six-hour kung fu class.
When you
class.
Say all of us, you mean you and all the animators had
yes.
to go through a class. Yeah.
A six-hour class of kung fu, and I'm like...
Exhausting.
I'm cool, I could do that. We want to feel like Po. Like, what does it feel like to really be out of shape and try to do kung fu? And at the end of the day, we were supposed to be doing knuckle push-ups. That was the last thing of the day. We're like, oh, we can't even move.
He teaches
but
a class
fantastic.
In L.A. I want to go.
Yeah, he's great. He teaches kids. He's
My neck
really
is still
cool.
sore because I did a little
did
session
a little
with him yesterday at a photo shoot. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's making
cool.
me do, like, official, like, kung fu poses.
Yeah, even just getting the... But the animators, for them, it was great because until you sort of do it with your own body, you don't really understand how the character needs to do it, you know, how much of your... back is involved in a punch or whatever all the sort of mechanics of it are. It's cool.
Jack, can you talk a little bit about what's going on with D? And also, what have you... can you talk about the projects you've done since wrapping on Traffic?
Tenacious D is alive and well. We're going to go do some concerts, some festivals, Reading and Leeds in England, very famous. And we're going to be opening for Metallica. Just a little band you might have heard of, Metallica. And then we'll probably do some benefits here in L.A. when we get back from that in August.
That was a huge legendary festival.
But the other movies. I did a movie with Harold Ramis at the helm called The Year One. With the young and brilliant Michael Cera, who I am the president of his fan club after working with him. So great. Smart and, I'm jealous of his magic. Because I was like, what was I doing when I was 20? I did not have that kind of magic. But he, special kid.
Could you talk a little bit about your character in that film?
We're just two dudes wandering through biblical times. We're not famous characters from the Bible. We're not even in the Bible at all. But this is two dudes, Zed and O. I play Zed and he plays O. Wandering. We're in a tribe, a primitive tribe, and we wander out of our tribe to go on a quest for meaning of life. And we see all the kind of the major players of the Old Testament. And it's a pretty funny adventure movie.
Jack,
Jack, Leeds and Reading are two huge legendary festivals, like Woodstock every year. Does it mean something special to play those two for you, and also opening for Metallica, but specifically those two venues?
We are very excited, especially, you know, knowing like the greatest live album of all time, in our opinion, is The Who Live at Leeds. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably pay some kind of tribute to them, do a medley of sorts. And we got some special things in store. We're trying to do some new stuff that no one's seen, catch people off guard a little bit. But it'll be fun to play in front of that many people. We've never really played that huge a crowd before. It'll be like 50,000 people or something crazy like that, more. Yeah, whatever. My brain doesn't go above 50,000.
That's crazy.
That's all we have time for, everyone.
All right. That's August 20th, 21st, 23rd, 24th, something like that.
I'm not going to ask you. Yes. You guys rocked Comic-Con a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
That was like a legendary performance.
Thank you.
Is any chance of you guys being down there to promote Year One or doing anything D down there this year?
I don't know. As of now, I haven't heard anything, but it wouldn't surprise me because that's the new place to go to promote all the things. Cinematic.